Our next guest is probably always going to be known as the lawyer who wrote the so-called torture memo. John Yoo, a deputy assistant attorney general at the Justice Department between 01 and 03, helped establish the legal framework for the Bush administration's enhanced interrogation techniques. The memos expanded the president's power in times of war. John Yoo, now a law professor at the University of California at Berkeley, has written a new book that examines the history of growing executive power. Yoo's new book is called Crisis in Command, A History of Executive Power from George Washington to George W. Bush. John Yoo, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I saw your appearance on The Daily Show. I have to say, you know, Jon Stewart had it so in for you, and you just were the nicest guy. I mean, I'm telling you, your students must have loved that.
Well, you have to keep in mind that I've spent my career learning how to calm down unruly students who've not done the reading for class.
Oh, and that's what happened with Jon Stewart?
Exactly.
Well, what I'd like to do is, first of all, let's talk about the premise of this book, Crisis and Command. In some ways, it's a story of the change, the evolution of the Constitution, and the rise of executive power in the United States. You describe in a couple of places in the book that executive power and a president's motivation and kind of righteous use of it comes from a sense that they represent this quality of the majority's intent, that when presidents act unilaterally or try to, they believe they have the power of the majority of the American people behind them, right?
When you look at these presidents and their emergencies, they really believe they're doing what's in the nation's best interest, and they draw on the fact that they were elected. They're the only official, other than the vice president, elected by the whole country, whereas Congress is often seen or described as an accumulation of lots of special interests because they're all elected by narrow constituencies. The reason you need an executive branch is because things like the Civil War or a 9/11 happen, and we need a part of the government that can act swiftly and decisively on behalf of the country, because Congress is too slow, too riven by special interests to act decisively.
Well, let's talk about the emergency of 9/11 and your role in drafting the so-called torture memo. What was the job there? I don't quite understand it. I mean, here were these people at the Department of Justice coming to you and explicitly asking for what precisely?
It's a fairly obscure office. It's very small, only has 20 lawyers. So the question came to the Justice Department from the CIA, the National Security Council, and the White House, just a few months after 9/11, we're talking about the spring of 2002, one of the leaders of Al-Qaeda, the person who's thought to be the number three leader of Al-Qaeda, was captured by our intelligence agencies, and he was not cooperating and resistant to sort of standard questioning. So the question was, what could our interrogators do that did not cross the line into torture, which no one wanted to violate that, no one wanted to violate that ban, but was tougher than what we do in the law enforcement world, which is Miranda warnings, and you get a lawyer, you don't have to talk at all.
But, you know, the thing I have a problem with there is, I mean, did you really think that if you'd said, John Yoo, there in that obscure office, had said, you can't do anything, dudes, that they would have listened to you at all?
No, that's the reason they came to lawyers in the first place. I do not believe that they had a pre-decided outcome in mind where they said, oh, we're just going to do A through Z, and we don't care what the lawyers say. If they were going to do that, why ask for a lawyer's advice at all?
All right, but you may believe that, but the administration at certain points was happy to ignore the advice of lawyers who said they were doing way too much. Isn't that the case? Which makes it sound like maybe what the CIA and the White House did was, we can go down to this obscure office in DOJ and get John Yoo. He'll do it.
Well, I'm not like Mikey and the cereal or something, if that's what you're implying. I think the point is that at this time, nobody knew what the legal standards were in this gray area between what the law enforcement process allows one to do and what the statutes prohibit, because this was an unforeseen experience which we as a country had never confronted before. The second thing is, this is a job of this office in times of war. It's not as if the people in the White House said, oh, there's this little office, let's just ask them because they'll give us the answer we want. This is the function of the office when it comes to covert action, the Justice Department signs off on almost all covert actions, and the office I was working for plays that function all the time. So this is not unusual that this office, which is also, let me say, has the last word on legal disputes within the executive branch. So there are lots of lawyers who work in the government, and they can have lots of different views, and that's not uncommon, and in fact probably welcome, that a lot of lawyers would argue about what's the legal answer for something. But the final word when there are those disputes is in the Attorney General, and the Attorney General gives that function to our office.
Do you believe, since the Obama administration appears to be continuing with the military tribunal policy under the Bush administration, that a lot of the issues and legal opinions that you drafted that are so controversial are actually going to be enshrined as legal doctrine if the Obama administration basically allows this to proceed?
I think in terms of the legal authorities, I agree with you. I think the Obama administration is drawing on many of the same constitutional principles that the Bush administration did. You mentioned military commissions. The Obama administration suggested initially they were going to shut them down, but now they're going to keep them. Detaining people without putting them into the criminal civilian jury trial process. Again, they suggested when they campaigned that this would end. Now that they're in office, they're continuing that. So they have to be drawing on the same authorities. Now, but on the other hand, in terms of the choices they're making, what to do, I think they have softened, primarily in their decisions on how to treat people like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, to put him in the civilian trial system in New York City, or the Detroit Christmas Day bomber, who was almost immediately put into the law enforcement process. Those two decisions probably would not have been made by the Bush administration.
Anything you regret from those years that you developed your reputation? And obviously you have a much bigger career than that, but you are the guy who wrote the torture memo, and that's what they're going to say in the New York Times obit.
The way the journalism industry is going, I hope to outlive the New York Times at this point. But let me say this.
You're good. You're good. But answer the question, Counselor.
I'll be alive after the New York Times goes bankrupt.
No regrets?
No, let me answer your question.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, I think that I don't regret what I did. I mean, I was there. I had a job to do. I was proud to be able to help the country during a time of terrible emergency when we've been attacked. Obviously I wish we had more time. I mean, we were under enormous pressure of time and circumstances. And you might say, look, you could reach a different decision. I'm the first to say, you know, it's always possible people make mistakes, and you should look back and say, could I have done something differently? But if I was put back in the same place at the same time, I would still have made basically the same decisions. I regret that our country and I ever had to make those decisions, but I would still have made them.
John Yoo is the former Deputy Assistant Attorney General at the Justice Department, serving in his post from 01 to 03. His new book is called Crisis in Command, A History of Executive Power from George Washington to George W. Bush.
He's a glib guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lawyer. He's definitely a lawyer.
Yeah.